to 25. 14 degrees Racine, 13 Kenosha, wind chill minus 2. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. It scarcely seems possible, but it was 10 years ago this spring that UW Parkside unveiled to the world and dedicated its beautiful new facility that's come to be known affectionately as the Rita. And I was really privileged to be the master of ceremonies, or MC, however you like it, for the dedication ceremony, in which all kinds of people from southeastern Wisconsin streamed to the campus of Parkside to see the Rita for the first time with their own eyes. And it's a beautiful facility that has been a jewel in the cultural landscape of the Kenosha Racine area for the last decade. And Parkside is celebrating this 10th anniversary in fine fashion with an array of very special events that are going to be coming up over the course of this spring semester. I'm really pleased to have with me in WGTD studios today Dr. Leslie Walker, who is a professor of language and literature at Parkside, and more importantly, and for our purposes today, Dean of the School of Arts and Humanities. And of course, in a sense, the Rita is her home. And she is one of the caretakers of the Rita and all that goes on there. And she's with us here at WGTD on the morning show today to talk about what the Rita has meant to Parkside and to the community over the last decade, and some of the exciting things that are ahead. So, Dr. Leslie Walker, we welcome you back to the morning show.
It's my pleasure to be here today, Greg. We're so excited to be celebrating the 10th anniversary of the opening of the Rita.
I wonder if you are in a position to give us any kind of a historic long view of what it meant to secure the funding that was necessary for the Rita to be constructed. I can remember from conversations that I had, including some from maybe before you even got to Parkside, about the long struggle to kind of create a really beautiful performing arts space at Parkside and so on. And the fact that the Rita came about at the time that it did, during a time of budgetary constraint, made it, you know, almost like a miracle that something like this emerged when it did. What do you know about, and maybe do you even remember some of that period of planning and hoping and dreaming and struggle to make such a thing possible?
Well, I'm going to have to give a secondhand account here, Greg, because I came to Parkside in the summer of 2015, so the Rita was already up and going by then.
I have to just say, I would never dream that you've been there that briefly. I guess because you've had such an impact that I wouldn't have thought. I would have roughly thought you and the Rita were came to Parkside at about the same time. So
yeah, well, that thank you for those kind words, and it is a joy and a pleasure every day to go to work. But I can say that I have heard the stories, and maybe I'll just talk about those a little bit, and I'll ask our listeners to forgive me if I get some of the details wrong, right? So it's my understanding that particularly the music department had always played on our main stage.
Yep.
So for many, many years, since the 70s, the main stage was the principal place of performance, right? And so they battled with schedules.
Mm-hmm.
And the schedules were 4 or 5 full-length productions. We do 40 concerts at the minimum a year. And you can imagine that scheduling nightmare, not to mention that the theater is lovely, but the theater was made to be a theater, and mm-hmm. it was not made to be a concert hall.
Right. And there are all kinds of ways, if one is involved in music, you would know more than just somebody in the audience, kind of the logistical nightmare that is in place when you're trying to make music in a space that isn't quite right for it or not conceived for it. I mean, I've enjoyed some wonderful concerts there, but it's not easy to do that kind of music in that kind of space.
Right, right. And so it's my understanding that James McKeever, Francis Bedford, and as well as Mark Eichner, all names that the community knows, mm-hmm. were very instrumental in coming up with a plan. So a lot of what the Rita is, the extension, the actual building, is building out that wing, that music wing, which allowed us then to transform other spaces, right? So we were able to build the Black Box kind of up from the ground as a Black Box theater, which is very rare, right? Because a Black Box used to be in what is now our Fine Arts Gallery. So that was built up with the idea that it would be a Black Box theater with everything that is necessary for that kind of theatrical production. And then we built the music wing and the beautiful, acoustically impeccable, acoustically designed Francis Bedford Concert Hall. And it's my understanding that it was if the Rita opens in 2011, they have to get approval. The plans are in place 10 years before that. And they're pushing with the university and with the state, with the capital construction committee at the state to allow us to actually build something to give us the cash that we needed. And like you say, by a miracle, it must have gone up high on the list, and it was approved, and so began. And the building, lots of stories of the transition into the Rita. Our faculty remember what it was like when the building was virtually closed because of all of the renovation and then moving into it. And it was just, like you said, it was an extraordinary gift from the state of Wisconsin to southeastern Wisconsin.
Right, absolutely. I want to mention before I forget that we have in the Morning Show archives a really interesting morning show conversation from 10 years ago, just as the Rita was about to be dedicated. And that interview from the archives includes some really interesting information about what you have just been describing and some of the specifics when it came to actually designing the Rita. And so we're going to be sharing a portion of that interview in broadcast, and the interview in its entirety in the podcast version of the morning show. So I would really urge people who are interested in knowing even more about the Rita to seek out that earlier interview from 10 years ago to learn even more. For those of you just joining us, I'm joined today on the morning show by Dr. Leslie Walker, who is the Dean of Arts and Humanities at the University of Wisconsin Parkside, housed proudly in what is known as the Rita, which is the Rita Talent Pickin Regional Center for the Arts and Humanities. It might be good for us to clarify for the listeners exactly what we mean by the arts and humanities at Parkside. What academic departments are we talking about? And maybe you could also say a brief word about what you as dean are responsible for when it comes to those departments.
Right. So my job, I would say, is twofold. First of all, and foremost, it's about the education of our students. And I oversee 5 departments and a program. So I oversee the theater department, the music department, art and design, communication, literatures and languages, and we do that in the plural, literatures and languages, and the liberal studies program. So, you know, so I'm just kind of a manager. That's kind of what a dean does. I make sure the schedules are up online when they need to be, and I make sure that we have enough faculty and staff. So I do that hiring. And then I also oversee what's known as the RITA and everything that we do there. So we have academic programs in the RITA, and we have community programs in the RITA. So, for example, if you all throughout the semester, we'll have our noon concerts, our free noon concerts, and the free noon concerts are organized by the college. We invite people to come in. We work with the academic departments, and we put together somewhere between 10 and 12 concerts, which are free to the public on Friday after or Friday at noon.
Fantastic. That reminds me that, I mean, the UW Parkside, as long as I've been around, has had this really sterling reputation for being so connected to the community and opening its doors to the community for all kinds of different events. And, of course, when it comes to the arts and humanities, that's been especially true. And, of course, all kinds of people have come streaming into the RITA over the past 10 years to enjoy all kinds of things there. We probably shouldn't go any further without explaining the name. Of course, in short, the RITA, but the long name, the RITA Talent Pickin Regional Center for the Arts and Humanities. Tell us about RITA Talent Pickin, if you would.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Again, unfortunately, I never had the opportunity to meet her. She had passed away by the time I arrived at Parkside. So my contact, my personal contact, has been with her stepdaughter, who is Kitty Pickin. Ah. And so it is Kitty Pickin on behalf of her mother and or her stepmother and her stepmother's vision of Parkside, who endowed the RITA Talent Pickin Regional Center for the Arts and Humanities. And that gift that a Kitty gave to Parkside remains the most generous gift in Parkside's history.
Wow.
So Kitty was, she was married to, and I'm going to forget his first name, but Talent. Do you remember his first name, Greg?
Not off the top of my head.
I don't remember.
I used to know it.
Okay. She was married to the, I believe it's one of the first chancellors of Parkside, one of the early chancellors of Parkside. We're going to call him Mr. Talent. And so she was on the ground with her husband at the same time that the concept of Parkside was coming to fruition. That we Parkside goes from the two, I would say, community colleges and comes together into the vision of the state, which is a four-year regional comprehensive. So she's going to be very active in that period, and she was very committed to both higher education, four-year higher education for students of southeastern Wisconsin. And she was extremely committed to the community and enriching the community through art and culture.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's one of the most interesting things about the history of Parkside is some of those really important and amazing people who were there from the beginning. And when you walk through the various portions of the Parkside campus and you see names like Greenquist and Wiley and so on. These are tall, looming figures
right.
in Parkside history who helped to make it what it was. So we're talking about this beautiful facility called the RITA, and, of course, this significant endowment from RITA Talent Pickin is what allowed this to be constructed. What do you hear from folks who were around at the time 10 years ago in terms of just how complicated it was to put this facility together and the care with which it was designed?
Yes, it was, all hands on deck. everybody working really hard to do their parts. You know, everything had to be packed up. We have all the musical instruments. We have all of the props. We have, all of the stuff that makes the arts what they are. All of that had to be, packed away. People had to find other spaces to use while the construction was going on. There were some, key figures. I'm going to give a big shout out to Alvaro Garcia and Trenton Baylor, who were key in making sure Trenton Baylor with the studio spaces and helping, because we were able to, we have a ceramic studio, we have a sculpture studio, we have a print studio, we have a painting studio. So we have state-of-the-art fine arts facilities that also were part of that renovation. And it's, again, my understanding that Trenton Baylor was very important to that work. Alvaro Garcia was really important with the work of in the music side. And then someone who's gone on to other University of Wisconsin's Dean Yonk would have been here to help shepherd the theater program through that. And in fact, he was the acting dean, I believe, at the time of the opening of the Rita. And then he'll go on to become dean of the College of Arts and Humanities, because the College of Arts and Humanities comes into being about that same time.
Ah, very good. Yeah, and it's actually with Dean Yonk that I was taken on a tour through the Rita before it was even open to the public, and it was really fascinating to hear from Dean all kinds of different little details that people would never even notice, but were very much noticed in the crafting and planning of this complicated facility, which of course has served Parkside so very, very well. So at what point did it become clear that the 10th anniversary of the Rita needed to be celebrated in a big way? And what has the planning of that celebration been like from your perspective?
It's been on my radar for 2 years, right? I mean, I knew when I knew that it was coming up. I knew that we wanted to celebrate things. So the planning began right about the time the pandemic hit us.
Oh, wonderful.
So we at Parkside like to refer to the Parkside pivot. So we have been doing, which we're going to, commission somebody to do, to do the choreography for the Parkside pivot at some point, I believe. So I think that it had been my great hope. So it was going to be a year-long celebration. But as the pandemic kind of caused us to shape things, when the real planning began 6 to 8 months ago, with the hope that by the time we hit February, we would be on the other end of the pandemic. People were boosted, vaccines. That was going to, put us back into the normal. We've had to do the Parkside pivot, because one of the things that's happened in terms of our planning is we had a kickoff event planned for next Sunday that we have postponed. I just did not feel that it was wise to be eating and drinking and, at the time, at right now at this point on next Sunday. So we've pivoted, and we are going to have our big celebration. It will be a big open house similar to what you did 10 years ago. And that will be on April 24th, all day long from 1 to 7 p.m.
Fantastic. So we hope that people will make a point of marking their calendars for that really, really big day, which will be, again, April 24th, and events going on all afternoon into the early evening. There's a really beautiful brochure. It says the Rita 10th anniversary right on the cover, and some of the look of that wonderful sculpture that adorns the main entrance to the Rita is been utilized to kind of give the brochure, its cover, a really distinctive look. So maybe you can kind of talk us through what is planned for this semester-long celebration of the 10th anniversary of the Rita. It looks like, first of all, for the month of February, There are some events that are designed with Black History Month in mind.
Right. One of the things that's really important to us at in the College of Arts and Humanities and in the RITA is that our celebration of equity, diversity, and inclusion. So in as much as possible, we try to embrace these opportunities. And I wanted to make Black History Month, which traditionally always falls in February, part of our RITA celebration. So we have a very robust Black History Month, which is the next three noon concerts starting on the 11th of February, the 11th of February, and the 11th of February and the 18th. And then then on the 25th will be three noon concerts devoted, which will be devoted in some way or another to the history and culture of Black music. On Thursday of this week, I want to let your listeners know that we will have a panel discussion on the main stage, and the panel discussion is entitled Building Your Career as a Black Artist. So we want to invite everybody out to that. That's free. It's at 4 o'clock. It's on the main stage, and that's part of our Black History Month celebration. And again, another touchstone of Parkside and the RITA is that we're doing this in collaboration with the Mahogany Gallery in Racine. And the Mahogany Gallery is, to my knowledge, the only Black-owned gallery, art gallery, in southeastern Wisconsin.
Wow.
So it's our pleasure to work with, and a big shout-out to Scott Terry, who's done an amazing job of putting his own program together at the Mahogany Gallery, which is entitled Wisconsin Black Art and Cultural Expo.
Fantastic. So again, that's, as people are hearing this Thursday morning, it's this afternoon, Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock on the Main Stage Theater, this presentation, this panel discussion on building your career as a Black artist. And a number of other things going on, including a celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King and his legacy very specifically on February 25th and other events as well. So for Black History Month, that's going to be celebrated in a big way at the RITA. I'm just making my way through the brochure, and there is a special exhibit called Together Again, and it looks like that is going to be up and visible, although the official reception will not happen until the big day in late April. But tell us what you can about this art exhibit called Together Again.
So we're really excited about this. This is the second time we've done it, and we've decided to do it every 3 years. And what we do is we invite artists from Racine and Kenosha, and we say adjacent counties. So, for example, if you're an artist and you work in Racine, but you live maybe right over in Caledonia, well, that's still the county, but maybe you don't exactly live in the county.
We are very
open to that interpretation of Racine and Kenosha. But we do want to invite our local artists into our spaces. We want to give the community an opportunity to see what this really thriving local artistic visual arts scene. So that is what we've done. And it's also a juried show. So not everybody will be exhibited who entered their pieces. So we had over 100 pieces sent to us, and our jurors selected about 40 to display until, and those will be up through May. So we'll open the Together Again, because this is the second time, Racine, Kenosha. We're trying to span what can sometimes be a divide between these two places. We want to bring everybody together and celebrate the visual arts in our art galleries.
That's a lovely, lovely idea. And I have to say, as someone who's lived here since 1986, once upon a time, that divide was even more of a divide between Kenosha and Racine. And one of the things I've been so happy to see over my time in southeastern Wisconsin is how that divide has eased in a lot of different ways. And I'm convinced that the arts community has had a whole lot to do with that, with each community appreciating the other and working together on a lot of different collaborations and so on. And this art exhibit is a lovely example of that.
Yeah. Yes, we did this very intentionally because we really want to see the arts and culture communities here in southeastern Wisconsin rowing in the same direction. Mm-hmm. We think we'll be stronger, more vibrant if we all work together and collaborate.
Absolutely. Very good. Looks like we have an author's talk on February 23rd, and this sounds like it's going to be quite interesting. Tell us more about it.
Oh, absolutely. So these are two professors, Joseph Benson, who's a professor of English, and Doug Singson, who is a professor in art and design. And they co-wrote a book entitled Bandits, Misfits, and Superheroes, Whiteness and Its Borderlands in American Comics and Graphic Novels. So that they will be discussing this work that is just recently published. I'm excited to hear about it. I'm excited to hear more about it because I've heard a little bit about it as they've been working on it throughout these last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And we will invite folks to come and hear what Drs. Benson and Singson have to say about their new book. And afterwards, and this is what we're going to do throughout the semester, we will have a reception and the public will have an opportunity to buy a book, to get the book signed, and meet with the authors.
Very good. And again, this is two faculty members from UW-Parkside.
Yes.
So celebrating this collaboration between them.
Right.
We turn to the theater department, and of course, the Rita is their home, and the Rita, just by virtue of all that it offers in terms of resources and flexible spaces and so on, has made all kinds of exciting things possible for the theater department that would have been either impossible or very, very difficult to achieve once upon a time. I mean, it's just opened the floodgates of new possibilities. So explain to our listeners the theatrical offerings that are part of this celebration.
Oh, all right. I'd be happy to. So we're going to kick off the season, at least our fully produced play season, with Indecent. And that's going to be directed by Rachel Schwartz. And it will be in the Black Box. And it's inspired by the true events surrounding the 1923 Broadway debut of Shalom Asch's God of Vengeance, a flashpoint in Jewish and queer theatrical history. Indecent follows the history of the play itself and the artists who risked their careers and lives to perform it. So that will be in our Black Box starting March 4th and run for two weekends, March 4th and then 11th and 12th.
Very good.
And then our second big production, this will be on our main stage, and I'm really excited about this because this is going to give us an opportunity to really hone our design skills because we will be using some projection, a lot of projection technology. And so that play is She Kills Monsters, and that's going to be directed by Fabrice Comte-Williamson. Just to give you the a quick synopsis of the play, Agnes Evans leaves her childhood home in Ohio following the death of her teenage sister Tilly. When Agnes finds Tilly's Dungeons and Dragons notebook, however, she finds herself catapulted into a journey of discovery and action-packed adventure in this high-octane dramatic comedy laden with homicidal fairies, nasty ogres, and 90s pop culture. So this will be quite a production,
wow.
And we are looking, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow.
And that will be in late April and the first weekend of May.
Very good. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
The music department offers up all kinds of things, even beyond the aforementioned concerts that are part of Black History Month. Sounds like several big concerts are going to be coming up in March and April.
Yep, they are. We're highlighting three concerts in particular. One, our first concert is the Community Orchestra, and we will have David Mason as our artist in residence. And David is he's the principal violist for the Japan Philharmonic,
oh.
And he will be coming to us from Tokyo. And he, David, is a former resident of Kenosha, and he is also a student of Alvaro Garcia as a very young man.
Wow.
And then after that, so that will be March 5th. I invite everybody out for that. Then the Wind Ensemble and Community Band will be performing a special concert, and their special guest is Eliana Alcocera, who is an alumna from 2018 at from UW Parkside. And finally, our culminating event that we're going to highlight in terms of our musical program and concert is the Parkside Range, and that's going to be our a cappella group, and that will be on April 24th. That's always a popular, very popular concert.
I have had the pleasure on the morning show of highlighting the Parkside's Jazz Week, and of course jazz has figured really prominently in the Parkside Music Department for many, many years, and I'm so happy to see that Jazz Week will be back and will be part of the Rita celebration.
Yes, we're again very excited to have Jazz Week back. We've got a great lineup, and our headliner this year, as it was supposed to be 2 years ago, is the Bad Plus. We're excited to have them come to us from New York. And one of the other highlights of Jazz Week is not only will our own jazz studio be playing for the noon concert, and I'm going to say that's on I think that's March 19th. I think that's that Friday. They'll be playing our jazz studio, Russ Johnson, Dave Bayless, Sodke, and the others will be joining them for the noon concert. And then we will have our evening concert where we invite our local high schools to come and perform with our UW Parkside Jazz Combo. So this year, I believe we have all three Kenosha schools jazz bands joining us.
Wonderful.
So that's going to be wonderful. And that will be, again, I think that's Friday night, the 19th. I'm pretty sure.
So people can check that out, but otherwise kind of mark their calendars that March 14th through the 19th is Jazz Week back at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. You're inviting another author in late April, and she comes under the auspices of kind of your home department, the Department of Literatures and Languages. Tell us about Peng Shepherd.
Well, Peng Shepherd is a relatively young author. She, folks probably know her, her first novel was The Book of M. The Book of M is dystopic fiction, which seems to be relatively popular these days. It's a little bit along the lines for your listeners who might know Station's 11.
Yes.
Which is very much out there, which is a television series, well, television, live streaming program these days. So Peng Shepherd will be joining us on April 19th for a conversation about her work. And again, we will have a reception to follow, a book signing, and an opportunity to chat with her.
The same department is also bringing to the Rita the first annual Spanish program colloquium. This looks really interesting. What is this?
Yeah, so this is going to be, the idea is it's a kind of all day event that's going to, it's going to be a kind of soiree of a bohemian soiree of song, poetry, music, and students will get the chance to participate. We'll actually be doing this in the Black Box. There'll be some food. So it's going to be, like I say, it's a kind of a day-long celebration of Spanish and Hispanic culture called Una Noche Bohemia. If everyone will forgive my Spanish.
And that comes just ahead of the big dedication event.
So
the end of April is going to be really, really significant. And so it all kind of ends with a bang. So explain what is planned for then April 24th. all afternoon long and into the evening.
Okay, yeah. So the thought is a little bit of a reprise of what happened during the opening of the Rita. But so again, concentrating on really what it is that we do year in and year out. So it's going to begin around 1 o'clock, and it's going to go from 1 to 7, and it'll be an open house. People will have the opportunity just to walk through the Rita. We're going to be displaying on video monitors throughout the Rita the video produced by the Department of Literatures and Languages and the Communication Department. People have done short fiction, documentaries, interviews. So we're going to have those displayed throughout the building. We will also have a demonstration of Tech Night for She Kills Monsters. So we're going to give the public an opportunity to preview the projection technology that we'll be using in She Kills Monsters. There'll be a chance to go to a Range concert. The Range concert is that afternoon. After the Range concert, we will have the reception. It'll be more of a closing reception for Together Again, but we'll have a reception. And at that reception, we will be saying a few words about this 10th anniversary celebration. Folks can also see The Party, which is one of our foreign film series. Again, that's something else in the Rita, which has been going on for over 30 years. But the foreign film series is back in person this year. Mm. So, in fact, this weekend is the first of those showings. And unlike what we usually do, you can just come and you're going to – this. We don't have subscriptions, but you can just pay cash for the opportunity to see one of the movies.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, like I said, it'll last from 1 to 7 with a reception beginning at 5:30.
What an exciting day that will be. And again, that's April 24th. This is an event that was intended to occur this coming weekend. And, of course, thanks to the COVID-19 pandemic and this recent spike, it was wisely decided that that should be postponed. So now the big day is the 24th of April. Dean Walker, I know that you want to be sure to say a quick thank you to an array of sponsors who have made all of this possible.
Yeah, so again, one of the great pleasures of my job is to work with the local arts organizations in this community and our two beautiful communities. And so, at the end of our booklet, we've got some sponsors who are helping us finance some of these receptions that we're doing. So I really appreciate. So my shout outs go to the Kenosha Creative Space. I want to say a big thank you to Francisco Loyola. Mm. I want to say thank you to the Racine Arts Council and Kathy Wilson, who are sponsoring us. I want to say thank you to the Civil War Museum, the Kenosha Public Museum, and the Dinosaur Discovery Museum, who are also sponsoring us this semester. Another big shout out to the Racine Theater Guild. We really love all the work that they do. Gratitude to the Racine Symphony Orchestra. Again, a great partner for UW Parkside, wonderful partner. Another organization who has supported us is the OS Project, a gallery in Racine, a wonderful gallery in Racine. Another great gallery in Kenosha is the Lemon Street Gallery that we all know and love. The Fireside Dinner Theater also is one of our great supporters, and we've had a wonderful partnership with them for over 35 years. And finally, the Mahogany Black Arts and Cultural Center has also been an amazing collaborator with us throughout this year and as part of our celebration. So thank you to all of those arts organizations who are supporting us in our 10th anniversary celebration.
Fantastic. Before we let you go, I wonder if you could just say a quick word about the challenge that the COVID-19 pandemic has posed to your facets of UW Parkside, namely the arts and humanities, and what it feels like to perhaps be emerging from kind of the darkest days of that and able to do the things that everyone loves to do in the field of arts and humanities once again, albeit carefully and cautiously.
Sure. Of course, I remember clearly those days in March in 2020 when I had to tell Laura Rexroth that we were canceling her concert. That still can bring, make me teary-eyed, because that was such a, kind of a momentous moment and a call to have to make, and not realizing that that would mean that we would not have audiences in the building for the next 18 months, right? And just how, that goes to really, it's a dagger in the heart of arts and arts organizations, just not having audiences in our building. But again, talking about the Parkside pivot, we also had to skill up in an amazingly fast way. And what we skilled up with were digital technologies, namely live streaming, beefing up our audio capabilities. And we did get our art out of the building. And that's what I'm so proud of. I'm so proud of my team, because even though we couldn't have audiences, we had concerts, we had plays, and we continued, we carried on, right? And we learned, what we've learned and how we've changed for the better and how we've improved. We had the Racine Concert Band was in the Bedford last Saturday, and we had audience, but we also live streamed it, and with something that we wouldn't have done 2 years ago. And I can't tell you how many people from the community wrote in and said, for whatever reason, I couldn't come to the concert. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that live streaming. Mm. And so that's something that we're going to continue to do. So there are, it's been hard for everybody. It's been heartbreaking for many of us. But we're also, I'm going to say this trite, we've really made lemonade out of lemons. Mm. And we've learned a lot, and we're continuing to learn and expand our capabilities, making what we do in those buildings even more accessible to our community.
Well, that's always been what UW Parkside was all about. And of course, it's amazing to think about that connection to community even being stepped up amidst this this debilitating pandemic, that Parkside has just not let it stop you in your tracks. Quite the opposite, actually. It's been really exciting and inspiring to see all that's gone on. We want to remind everyone of all of these events that we have touched on today that are part of the 10th anniversary for the RITA Talent Pickin Regional Center for Arts and Humanities. I just rattled that off without even looking. So.
That's wonderful.
And people, I assume, can find all of this information as well if they go to the website of Parkside, right? UWP.edu.
/the RITA. And then it'll take you right there.
Fantastic.
And the booklet is also online. So this beautiful booklet that we've produced that you can find throughout town, both at the Kenosha Visitor Center and at the Racine Visitor Centers, various restaurants. I've deposited them. So if you see this beautiful booklet, just pick it up. It's got our entire season, or you can take a look at it online.
Very good. Dr. Leslie Walker, Dean of the School of Arts and Humanities at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, thank you for making time in your very, very busy schedule to be here on the morning show to talk about the RITA and this wonderful anniversary. And best wishes to you and to all your colleagues at Parkside.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure, Greg.
And to finish out today's morning show, I want to replay for you a brief excerpt from the memorable morning show that I did 10 years ago, right before the RITA opened. I had three guests in the studio, including Deborah Karp, director of the Center for Community Partnerships, Lisa Konetsky, then chair of the Theater Arts Department, and Dean Yonk, who at that time was interim dean of the College of Arts and Sciences. Dean Yonk, first of all, remind our listeners of just how long a timeline we are talking about with the RITA Talent Pickin Regional Center for Arts and Humanities. where was the sort of germination of this idea? How many years ago are we talking about?
Well, the campus opened in 1968, and the old Communication Arts Building opened in 1970, and I think that's the day the dream to expand the Communication Arts Building began. Dr. McKeever in the music department, and then Scully Warren a few years later in theater arts, almost immediately realized that the Communication Arts Building, which at the time actually had a TV station, a radio station, they had a very different focus on technology and not so much on the arts. They realized that the space spaces for theater, music, and visual art were insufficient almost immediately. Dr. McKeever, legend has it, and he's told the story, so I'm sure it's true, that about 25 years ago, he drew the music wing on a napkin at a cocktail party and shared it with university administration. So the dream has definitely been there for many years. When I was hired 11 years ago, I was told the building would be up within 2 years. So, well, that took a little longer than that. But certainly, you know, now after 5 years of design planning and 2 years of massive construction on the site, with us habitating the building at the same time, which was a challenge, we now are, I would say, 99% complete with the building, and it's completely open and being used by our students and our public.
Can you just say a quick word about what your role has been? You are interim dean of the arts and sciences, and of course that's what this center is all about. I mean, it focuses on those two particular facets of the Parkside community. What role have you played in this sort of latter stage of things?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, in the early design process, I was the chair of theater at that time before accepting the interim dean position. So the first year and a half of my work on the project was exclusively working with the theater faculty, staff, and designers to create the amazing theater expansion, which includes a large black box theater, two rehearsal halls that are also performance spaces, a new scenic studios, which Lisa can chat about later. So we were focused on that. And then when I became interim dean 2 years ago, then my focus became one of working with all the departments that would live in the Arts and Humanities Center, and really attending all the weekly meetings, which we now have had 99 weekly all group meetings, and really helping to negotiate if departments had needs that were not being met in the project. It was my job to sort of represent the academic departments and make sure that their needs were being heard by the Department of State Facilities, by our architects and designers. So I was sort of an advocate, I would say, between the departments and the designers and construction company.
So you had some hands-on work in the in a sense, the final details of the design. I mean, that you were aboard in this kind of position when some of those last decisions were being made about exactly what this center should look like.
Absolutely, but it was a very collaborative process.
Right.
As I mentioned, the 99 weekly meetings, they had representatives from every department in the arts and humanities, plus, you know, campus planners and all of those people. And really, I would say that this was an incredibly collaborative process as we, you know, worked to create a center that would really meet everyone's needs. And there were problems along the way, you know, electrical circuits ending up in the middle of a gallery wall, for example. And things like that. But we were able to remedy them through collaboration and working with the state and with Myron and the contractor and HGA, the design firm out of Milwaukee.
I'm just curious if you ever imagined that your work at Parkside was ever going to involve wearing a hard hat, first of all. I mean, just something as, you know, mundane as that. Or, I mean, and
and, looks very good.
And a lot.
I love my hard hat.
I'm sure you do. But I mean, you know, that's it seems to me this probably, I should think, took you a bit out of your comfort zone in terms of, I mean, you're dealing with a lot of matters that have nothing to do with, for instance, your own professional training and that kind
of
thing.
Well, actually, you know, Lisa's a theater director, too. And actually, this was just sort of like doing a big production, you know, because as directors, both Lisa and I, you know, regularly oversee whole design projects for creating a show. And actually, this was just a very big, very long production. And in a sense, opening night is this Saturday, you know. So really, I have worked as a professional scene designer in the past and as well as a director. And so for me, reading ground plans and all of those things was very simple, which that was helpful. So I would say that my training in theater actually prepared me really well to be able to work on this project.
Dean Yonk was the interim dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at Parkside at the time that the Rita opened its doors to the public for the first time. To hear more of my conversation with Dean Yonk, Lisa Konetsky, and Deborah Karp, turn to the podcast version of The Morning Show. Look for The Morning Show with Greg Berg. And we are sharing that entire interview from 2012 today, in fact, right now. You can go to wherever you listen to podcasts and find that morning show conversation from 10 years ago. It's 8:59 here on WGTD, and tomorrow on The Morning Show, you'll hear my conversation with sports writer and attorney Justin Spisman. He has written a new book called Coach, The Greatest Teachers in Sports and Their Lessons for Us All. In this book, he celebrates the greatness of 180 different coaches from a wide array of sports. And it's a terrific book, and we will be talking about it tomorrow on the Friday Morning Show.